So we've been talking about happier, as Chad and Jake both mentioned, and we've talked about different things in the past few weeks. And if you've missed any of those, I would encourage you to go and watch those online. We talked about we are happier when we give, when we encourage, when we don't sweat it, when we celebrate others, and when we are grateful. And then next week, Chad will be back, and he'll be talking with us about when we lift each other up, we are happier. But today, we're going to dig in and talk about we are happier when we roll up our sleeves. So I want to read from the Gospel of John. We're going to be reading today from chapter 13. And this scripture is just so rich of the lessons that Christ taught the disciples in his last days in public ministry. You see, he had come to the end of his 3-year public ministry, and he knew his death was coming. And so he pulled the disciples aside. They went into the upper room for the Passover meal because he knew that he wanted to spend some time alone with them and share with them some last instructions. So hear the word in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. After he washed the disciples' feet, he put on his robes and returned to his place at the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example. Just as I have done, you also must do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them." Now, as Jesus has told the disciples this, and we're thinking about him being this servant leader, it reminded me of an article I read in Psychology Today about happier, being happier. And this article says that in the year 2000, approximately 50 books about happiness were published. And then again in 2008, that number had skyrocketed to 4,000. And since the mid-2000s, the interest in happiness, as measured by Google searches, which we're all familiar with, that number has tripled. Yet somehow we are all searching more than ever. Related studies also show that 4 in 10 Americans have not discovered a satisfying life purpose. And nearly of a quarter of Americans, about 100 million people, do not have a strong sense of what it means to have a life that is meaningful or have a life of purpose. And I personally know this search because I have asked that question in my lifetime. And I found that in ministry, in serving in a variety of different roles, I have come to find that my purpose is connecting with people. And I love to just sit and connect with people and have the opportunity to encourage, to hear their stories, and to love on them as Christ would love them. So we all ask that question, though. What is my purpose? At some point in your life, you've probably asked, what is my purpose? And where do I find it? But let me ask you this. What if being happier isn't just a feeling, but it's about something that you do? What if it is an activity? What if happier is not all about you and all about rolling up your sleeves and doing what needs to be done, responding to a need? When we think about our scripture today, nobody had a greater heart than Jesus. Here he is with the disciples in these last moments. And he's teaching them what having a meaningful life will look like if they will do what he has called them to do. So on this night, Jesus is with the disciples. They have just finished their meal. He has served communion. He's talked about the bread and the wine and the significance of that, knowing of his coming death and resurrection. So he gets up from the table and he walks over. And he has this basin. He fills it with water. And he leans down and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. He then takes a towel and he dries their feet. Now, this was one of those acts that surely of all people, Jesus wouldn't do. Because this was the lowest ranking servant's role. But Jesus did this for his closest friends. He wanted them to know of his love and provision for joyful and purposeful lives in the face of a hostile world, because then and even now, we are in the face of a hostile world. And he knew the power and the authority that he had been given. He knew who he was, yet he took the time to be a servant leader, because nothing was beneath him, even though he had all the power. He washed the disciples' feet to demonstrate this quality of service that is needed and the quality of service to which he was calling them. Jesus called his people to notice, to care about, and to meet each other's needs. And we too are called to embrace the opportunities that are around us to serve those in need. It doesn't matter if we feel like we have a higher ranking position or a lower ranking position. Christ is calling us to put all of that aside and to serve, because nothing should be beneath us in our serving. We should be able to serve anyone, anywhere, anytime. And if we think about where Christ is in this room, in this meeting with these people, he knew which of his disciples would betray him just in the hours to come. Yet he still washed all of their feet. He didn't choose who he would serve, even though he knew what was to come. But in this command that he has given them, it says, as we read in verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Jesus is saying we will be happier if we serve, if we take a humble place and serve, no matter who we are serving. Because when we are happy, we are often moved emotionally, challenged intellectually, and changed spiritually in all dimensions of our life. Now, numerous studies show that happiness comes from service, and this serving creates a more joyful and overall health. Believe it or not, when you serve, there are neurochemicals in your brain that actually react to your serving, and your dopamine, your serotonin, and your oxytocin actually all react at the same time, and it creates something that scientists call the happiness trifecta. Some call it the happiness high. And it's hard to believe, but this actually happens when we serve. We actually feel better, our mood is boosted, and it makes us want to serve even more. But happiness isn't just in our brains, right? We have this inborn tendency to serve. It creates these neurochemicals. But I also found recently that it's in the very soil all around us. Have you ever thought about that phrase, roll up your sleeves? We roll up our sleeves so we don't get them dirty. And some of us don't really even want to get our hands dirty. But did you know that your mood is boosted when you dig around in the dirt? Believe it or not. There is something called, and I think we have a slide for it, Mycobacterium vascae. Isn't it pretty? That's in your dirt. And when you dig around in the dirt, this bacteria actually boosts your mood. It creates that same effect as the happiness trifecta, and it actually is something they refer to as the new Prozac. So maybe we should play in the dirt a little more often. And when I say that, all the ladies in the room, just so you know, we are having in April a women's event, and one of our breakout sessions will actually give us the opportunity to play in the dirt. Who wouldn't want to do that? So I would encourage you to sign up today for that. But serving doesn't have to be something big and great, grandiose. It could be something as simple as opening the door for someone. It could be something as simple as helping a stranger change a tire, or even just a simple smile. I remember when my daughter was in elementary school, she did a science fair project on whether or not smiles are contagious. And so I took her and my two sons, and we went to Barnes & Noble. And we would just go to the end of a row, and we would stand there, and we'd be next to a stranger, and we would just wait. And when they'd look up, we would just look at them and smile. And it was really kind of creepy, but we actually had great fun with it, and we still talk about it. But we would smile, and they would smile back. And then I said, okay, with all science fair projects, we have to have variables. And so our variables are going to be, now I want you to go up to someone and kind of wait till you make eye contact, smile, and say hello. See what happens. So then we have a report. So most people would smile and say hello, not 100%. And then finally, our final variable was to go up and wait, smile, say hello, and wave. And while we did all of this, we had different results from our variables, but 100% of the time, if you smile at someone, they will smile back. And so I would encourage you to do even the simple things like that. Don't go to Barnes & Noble and sneak up on people like we did. That was kind of weird, but we had to do it for the science fair project. So I would encourage you to do even the simple things that you don't think make a difference in someone's life. We don't know what people around us may be going through. The checker at the grocery store, someone at church here, someone at work that maybe just seemed to be in a bad mood. If we just smiled, that could just change their day. So serving not only makes us happier in the moment, but it also helps us to find true purpose. Purpose is a means to an end. Purpose is a path to meaning. Cheryl Bockhelder wrote a book called Dare to Serve, and in her book, she says, I quote, "The point of purpose is to determine how you will serve others. If you don't plan to serve, you don't need a purpose." That makes purpose sound so big, doesn't it? It sounds complicated, but we don't have to make it complicated. I remember when, back in the early 2000s, I was with another church, and I would go with the missions team to Matamoros, and we would go to serve this community called the Colonias, and when we would go to serve, I remember the first time I went, and I was in awe. These people actually live on a trash dump, and in their little town, they had homes for families of six or more that lived in plywood homes, just sort of leaned up together, like building your house of cards, right? And so they'd take these pieces of plywood and they would build them, and they would simply have a bed sheet for their front door. Some of them didn't have food every day. Some of them didn't have food every meal. We never knew, especially if they were out at the fishing village, they didn't have access to all of those things because you had to travel back and forth by boat. But I remember this first time that I went, I was completely overwhelmed. And I thought, how can we change this community? How can we change the world around us? This just seems so big. And I asked the director of the program, and I said, how do you do this? And he said, we simply respond to each need as it comes. If someone needs food, we will get in our boat and we will take beans and rice to the fishing village. If someone needs a new home because what they have is not providing safe shelter for their family, we will build them a home. In the 10 years that I went back and forth to Matamoros with this missions team, we actually built a hospital. And so people in the community would know that if they had a health need, they could come to this hospital. But what I loved about what he said that day when I asked was, you don't have to solve it all. Just respond to the needs around you. That I could embrace. That I could wrap my arms around and feel like I was making a difference. And so I encourage you to think about those things that you could be doing that are right here in your midst. You don't have to go to Matamoros necessarily. It's great if that is your calling. But there are things here as well as in our country and in our world and ways that you can serve. So after Matamoros, I continued to just think about purpose and meaning, but I think that really shaped the way in which I could find meaning in everything that I do on a daily basis. And so it is possible. But when we look at everything through this lens of means, we may find that our greatest contribution in the world may not be something, but it may be helping someone else. Because I find often that purpose is found at the intersection of a broken heart, of our opportunity at hand, and the skills that we may bring to the table. In other words, think about the question, what breaks your heart? And that is typically where God is calling you to make a difference in the lives of those around you. Our own life experience, coupled with those spiritual gifts that God has given each of us, allows us to find meaning and purpose in helping others. And so as we do that, we find that we have these different strengths and skills that we bring to the table, to bring to each opportunity around us. And you may serve in the same way that I do, or for the same mission, or the same activity, but you may do it in a different way because you bring different skills and experiences to the table. So we all have different purposes that we can bring, just as Jesus did, because he came to serve. He rolled up his sleeves and he helped those that he encountered along the way. He fed them, he taught them, he healed them and encouraged them. He even shared a meal with them. It was that simple. And in our scripture today, he reminds us that nothing is too small. And he washed their feet. It's no wonder Jesus was happy, right? He knew who he was and what he could do as an act of service to others. Now, there's another book that I read recently called The Power of Meaning. And scientists have discovered that the things that lead to meaning or having a meaningful life or this happiness that we're talking about are those people who focused on, you'll see the bulleted items up here, some object other than their own happiness. So they're focusing on something else. They focused on not themselves, but the happiness of other people. Or maybe they focused on the improvement of mankind. They focused on how they could make themselves useful to others or how they could make others feel happier as a whole, maybe simply through encouragement. And they focused on how to connect with something larger than themselves. All of these areas of focus resulted in a life that mattered. The search for meaning is far more fulfilling than the pursuit of happiness. In other words, the more we connect and contribute to something larger than ourselves, the more meaningful life is. A person with purpose moves from this all about me mentality to an all about others mentality. And I find that we are so often busy in our own world that it not intentionally necessarily, but it becomes about us. But when we think about others instead of ourselves, all of those neurochemicals start to move and react, and we will find that we are happier people. So all of this made me start thinking about, how does our day job connect to purpose? And I remember seeing information on people who had jobs. You know, when you go somewhere and you find someone that is just joyful wherever they are, and you know that they are clearly happy in their job, in their role that they're doing. For example, we have a lot of construction going on in Plano right now, and there's the guy that stands there with his stop sign, and it's got slow on one side, and on occasion he'll turn it and it'll say stop. But when one man was asked why he kept doing that mundane job, which seems so awful, rain or shine, right? He said, because I'm keeping people safe. So he knew his meaning and purpose for doing that job was more than just turning a sign. It was keeping people safe. Then there's the janitor at NASA, and all he does every day is sweep the floors. Day in and day out, he sweeps the floors. And when he's asked, why do you do that job? He says, because I'm putting a man on the moon. So it's all about perspective, right? We can be doing what seems to some such a mundane thing. But when we know our purpose for doing it is not about us, but it's about those around us. It's about keeping people safe. It's about putting people on the moon. It's about, for us here, leading people to Christ. So we think about those things and we realize that whether serving is easy or difficult, it needs to be done. And it's so worth it because we are satisfying this inborn tendency that God gave us to help other people. And then it goes on and on. It's that ripple effect, right? And other people start serving because it's the reciprocal. Not only when we give are we blessing those around us, but we too are blessed. And I believe that's what Christ is saying in verse 17. When we do this, we will be happy. And we are happier. Christ teaches us today to humble ourselves and to serve one another because we are blessing those around us. And when we do it, we find purpose beyond ourselves because we can be happier when we stop making life's purpose all about us and simply roll up our sleeve to serve others. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you today in awe of your teaching and the opportunity to be in your word and to see how you have set the example before us. Your followers then and your followers now, we are called to serve, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And we are so grateful that you have taught us this lesson. We pray, Lord, that you will lead us to those areas and ways in which we can serve most effectively, most lovingly those around us. We pray that you be with those who are in need. Just work in and through us in whatever way you call us to, and help us to be humbled and to roll up our sleeves. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Amen.